branding, experience, conversation, promotion. Powerful marketing, empowering small business to change their status quo. It's the Internet Show, all about small business marketing. Jay Arrett hosts the brightest minds in marketing. Power to the small business.
Where's Waldo? More appropriately, where has Jay been? I know it's been about a month since the last podcast, but we are back with more Power to the Small Business. Hello, my name is Jay Arrett. I am Chief Officer of Awesomeness at The Marketing Spot, which can be found on the web at themarketingspot.com. It has been a while since the last episode, about a month. I was sick during the holidays. You can probably still hear the remnants of it in my voice. Plus, I'm retooling the website, the blog, and this podcast. Actually have someone editing the audio for me now. And coming soon, a new website and the blog integrated with the website, and also a new online marketing resource center for solo entrepreneurs and small business owners. Working on it behind the scenes, and more announcements as they become available. This past week was our big Facebook webinar, The Complete Guide to Facebook for Business. Thanks to everyone who attended that. We have the next premium webinar scheduled in February. It's coming Thursday, February 24th at noon Central. I'll be teaming up with Glenn Gabe, noted SEO expert. We'll be doing a webinar on Google Analytics and local search. Stay tuned to this podcast and to the Marketing Spot blog for more information. Well, this podcast episode was originally intended to air a couple of weeks ago. This is a special edition of the podcast called the Marketers Roundtable. We've done these before. I find my favorite marketers from around the country, and we get together and talk marketing in a roundtable format. This is a special impact episode of the Marketers Roundtable, where we look back at the biggest marketing impacts of 2010, and we look forward to what's going to impact the marketing scene in 2011. Our guests on this edition of the Marketers Roundtable, and I'll let them introduce themselves in full here in just a moment, are Ken Briscoe. He is a creative director for A6 Media in Wilmington, Delaware. Tamza McMahon out of Sammet's Blackstone in Boston, and Kyle Lacey from Mindframe in Indianapolis. So what was and what is going to be the biggest marketing impact for small businesses? Pull up a chair and let's find out at the Marketers Roundtable. And we go to the Skype line, or more appropriately to the Marketers Roundtable, where we have our panel of marketers to talk about looking back and looking forward in marketing. Let's go around the table and meet our marketers. First up is Tamza McMahon.
Hi, I'm Tamza McMahon. I'm the Director of Digital and Strategic Initiatives at Sammet's Blackstone Associates, sammets.com. We're a Boston-based brand strategy and graphic design firm. I'm also a co-tac at brasstacthinking.com.
Cool. All right. Kyle Lacey.
My name is Kyle. I'm a principal at a company called Mindframe based in Indianapolis. My blog is at kylelacey.com, and I am the author of Twitter Marketing for Dummies and most recently Branding Yourself, which came out December 30th.
All right. Very nice. And Ken Briscoe.
Hi, how you doing? I'm Ken Briscoe, creative director at A6 Media, and we are a branding and marketing firm in Wilmington, Delaware.
Cool. And my name is Jay Arrett, themarketingspot.com. Let's get started. Let's look back and look forward. Tamsin, you are first at the Marketers Roundtable. What do you think is the biggest marketing impact of 2010? And what do we have to look forward to in 2011?
For me, 2010 is the year the social media barrier fell. I don't think we're at the point yet where social media is necessarily widely adopted beyond kind of a certain core group of early adopters and kind of increasingly forward-thinking businesses. But it does strike me as the year that kind of the general public lost its resistance. I mean, they're not necessarily aggressive adopters yet, but that we're at a point where people said, oh, okay, let's see how this is going. Let me do it. And, you know, to that end, I point you to the dramatic increase of, you know, people on Facebook, and also just saw this morning, you know, the 41% of people getting their daily news from Twitter now, up from 17%. Like I said, 2010, the year the barrier fell. For me, looking forward, 2011, I think what I'd like to think, and this might be more aspirational than anything else, is that that's the year that marketing operationalized, or it's the year that marketing, you know, finally gets to join the big boys at the table of business operations. You know, I think you see early signs of that in the rise of social strategy, you know, increasingly people trying to figure out how to consult with businesses on how to create businesses that are social rather than just marketing that is. And so I'm thinking that this is a year we'll really start to see marketing shift upstream where a lot of us think it always should have been. So that's my quick take on last year in this.
All right. Anybody like to comment on that?
Yeah, this is Ken Briscoe speaking. I agree with her wholeheartedly. I think we work with a lot of nonprofits, and I think this was the year that each one of my clients realized that that social strategy needed to be something that needed to be integrated into their strategic communications plan and not become a secondary channel. I think they've seen the value from the for-profit side, and some of the smaller nonprofits really realized the value in it and how it needs to be fully integrated into their brand and messaging.
Yeah, and what was interesting to me is that up until this year, it was kind of like, do we really have to? I want to wait and see. You know, our firm works with a lot of nonprofits as well, so I completely hear you. So it's just a lot of people seem to be really resistant, even at individual level. And, you know, my anecdote from this morning was that my, you know, one of my clients kind of commented, you know, as he picked up a paper newspaper, said, well, now that I've been reading the newspaper on my iPad every morning, all of this seems like old news. And this was a guy a year ago who was like, I'm never going to read anything but a paper newspaper ever. And so that's why, you know, I just take all that to say my sense is that the people are just saying, you know, instead of being resistant, they're kind of saying, huh, maybe we need to do something about this now.
Tamsin, how do you think that works on a local level? You're talking about some bigger, maybe corporate clients and nonprofits where marketing is a discipline that's kind of separated. But what about the local businesses, the solo entrepreneurs? Do you think they already get it that marketing is on an equal plane with like product development and management and things like that?
That's why I'm saying I think that the year coming up is a year where a similar realization starts to hit, where that it's really not possible. Because this barrier dropped, I think there's a larger expectation now of people that they have that interaction. Those of us who've been early adopters have kind of already had this expectation of businesses interacting. And I think, you know, the more that the wider population starts to have that similar expectation, the more that I think even small and local businesses are going to realize they can't ignore it, which means that there's no way to go into product development. There's no way to go into just basic operations without taking into account what your customer and potential customer expectations are going to be. So I don't think they all necessarily do get it, but I suspect that this year will be one where people start to say, huh, I think I need to get up to speed on this stuff and quickly. And not just the social media tools. I mean, the whole concept of bringing, you know, the basics of, you know, identify, anticipate, satisfy, marketing concepts into their original planning about where they're trying to go with their business.
Yeah, marketing is not something you do when things get slow or when you get in trouble. It's something you should be doing all the time.
Exactly. In order to figure out what to do with your business, you need to know how it might play in the marketplace. This isn't trying to just, you know, package up something that isn't going to sell and say, hey, if I just put the best marketing on it, then that's going to do it. That's, you know, those of us who've done marketing for a long time realize that, but I think people for whom that hasn't been their background, it is still very much a kind of a downstream thing.
Kyle, do you have any comments?
Surprisingly, this is actually a good thing, but we also do most of our work through nonprofits. So
it's the nonprofit panel today.
There you go.
Nonprofits and health networks. But I think that what we ran into initially in 2010 was sometimes we had problems with the CTO and the CMO agreeing that social should be a technology or should social be a strategy. I think it was a huge issue, and it's come out of that as of right now. And I think that the CMO is now controlling most of that, but 80-20 rule applies to all this. 80% was always learning the tool. We have to learn the tool, and 20% was a strategy. And I think it's flipped completely the other way. On 80% is actually building the social strategy, whether it's customer service or customer relationship management or anything you want to put social media under, and actually doing 20% is actually learning the technology.
Okay, that was Tamsin McMahon's take on 2010 and looking forward to 2011. Now we go around the table to Kyle Lacey. Kyle, what do you think had the biggest marketing impact of 2010 and look forward to marketing impacts in 2011?
I actually have one answer for both. That kind of.
Cheater.
I know, that's cheating, right?
Really, yeah. 2010 was mobile. 2011 is going to be mobile. I think that mobile is going to completely revolutionize the way any industry is working. you know, we're seeing an uptick in manufacturing, at least in this country. Health networks are starting to use iPads within the hospital. I think there's going to be a huge increase in conversations around privacy in 2011. How do you secure your content? How is your content more valuable? I think content was king in 2010. It's going to be king in 2011. But the biggest thing is going to be, how does the marketing world support social? And the social media consultant is going to die because social media is going to be just another tool. How is PR going to handle it? How is the marketing department going to handle it? How is a small business owner going to handle it?
So, Kyle, about a third of our audience just passed out when you said the social media consultant will die. Yes, I think it'll be a slow, painful death, though, because they won't go away that easily. You went to mobile a couple of times there. Can you point out something specific, the impact mobile will have on business and marketing this year?
I'd say number one is going to be customer service. I think that we're seeing companies like Interactive Intelligence and other software companies that are developing system for call centers, for customer service departments, to be able to handle the inflow of social media content that's being said about a certain brand, whether you're a huge franchise operation that has 60 chapters or 60 restaurants and people are using mobile to interact with your brand, whether they're saying this steak is too bloody or this festival is stupid. You need to be able to handle the inflow of content, because if you don't, I think it's shown that it does have some negative influence. But because measurement is going to be so important in 2011, we're actually going to be able to understand by the end of this year what that negative influence means and how it actually affects the brand from a monetary perspective, instead of all the social media people saying, oh, it affects your brand, and that's pretty much as far as they go. But once we have revenue numbers on the impact of that, I think that mobile is going to be extremely important. And I think it's more important for customers, because customers are sharing that data through their phone and through their iPad or through their tablet.
Well, it's interesting you bring up mobile, Kyle, because just yesterday I helped produce an audio program for an event coming up in March called Bricks and Mobile. And they are going to focus a lot on, not exclusively, but on what they're calling m-commerce. And that's just not buying stuff mobily. That's the mobile experience, tying in the store experience with a mobile experience, and that taking your device into the store, you can now interact with the store mobily through in-cap displays, aisle displays, and other things like that. So they think the mobile device is a convergence device, and that when you walk into the store, into a physical bricks and mortar store with your mobile device, you will begin interacting with the store on your mobile device, and including maybe the opportunity to purchase some things also.
The biggest problem is that point of sale systems, POS systems, are so slow in terms of developing software that can handle mobile application. And maybe I'm missing somebody that can, but I haven't seen a POS system that can actually truly handle a mobile environment. And they're probably coming out, but that's going to be the main thing. If a POS system can come out that will help restaurants do interactive menu, that can help brick and mortar do coupons while you're in the store, and it actually syncs with everything, then that's going to be key.
Okay, Tamsin, Ken, you got any comment on what Kyle has said?
Once there's dollars attached to that, that's what I think is going to make the kind of, you know, business operations side sit up and take notice, because all of a sudden realizes, okay, this isn't just a problem that happens from a customer service standpoint. It's, you know, is not just a customer service problem. It's also not a marketing problem. It's a problem with how the product or the service or the event was designed and delivered in the first place. And that's not marketing. That's the core of the business. And when you extend that out to mobile, to figure out how to create a legitimate and compelling mobile experience of whatever it is that you're out there offering, again, that's not just a packaging thing. That's having to have a deep understanding of your marketplace, of the customers and consumers that you're out there to serve, and how they want to interact with you.
Yeah, I think definitely mobile is going to be the key player. I know for a lot of our customers, mobile was never really a consideration because I guess a few years back, mobile wasn't something from an experience standpoint that they had to worry about when it came to their brand online. But now with a lot of our constituents from fund development, from some of their social engagement, with mobile being a heavy player, they realize that that accessibility and experience is absolutely necessary when they start really identifying what their strategy is. And to agree with Tamron, I think that's solely the point. You have to understand on a deeper level how that experience needs to be portrayed when it comes to your particular demographic or customer base. So I think mobile is definitely going to be something that'll be a heavy, heavy consideration when it comes to competition, even in the nonprofit sector.
Okay, Kyle, thanks for those insights. Now we move to Ken Briscoe. Ken, looking back and looking forward, what do you think are the biggest impacts?
The fact that I think definitely in 2010, it was definitely social media with Tamron saying the barrier is falling down. It became obvious that everyone needs to play on some level. I think in 2011, it's definitely going to continue with mobile from an accessibility standpoint from a lot of our customers. It definitely is a heavy consideration. What I think you're going to see a lot more conversations about is some of the location-based stuff. I think with that coming to the forefront in, I'd say, mid to late 2010, and not having everyone kind of adopted, I think that's going to be, to a lot of the regular guys or regular companies, a way to kind of enter into the game with some real, as a matter of fact, results, or so it's perceived. I also think that the social media side in 2011 is going to be folded in, like I said, into their strategic planning. With a lot of our customers, it never was a consideration from their original strategic plan. But I think with the constraints on budgets and manpower, we've seen a lot of people wearing multiple hats within an organization and realizing that if I can't have a communications director, I need to create some type of process in which we could increase our footprint and deliver our brand message. And social media seems to be the easiest place to enter.
I'm intrigued by the location-based thing, because I think in a lot of ways, 2011 is the year that it needs to prove itself. I completely agree that it's 2011 is going to be consumed with conversation about location-based, you know, what is it? How do we use it? Should we use it? I think it's going to be the thing that consumes particularly nonprofits. Like, do we have to do that too? But I think even amongst the early adopters this past year, there's this question of really what's its long-term value and what's it going to look like. So I think I'm very much in a wait-and-see mode about location-based services. I think there's utility in them, but I think this is the year that they're really going to have to demonstrate it, else risk becoming, you know, another one of those things that flared up and died away. I probably just about to bring the location-based gods of war down upon me for that, but I just think it has a lot to prove still. And I think it needs to prove it quickly, or else it's going to lose the potential market, you know, that it has the potential to serve.
I think Kyle hit it on the head earlier when he said that there aren't many developers out there that can really build a system to work easily from a POS standpoint. And I think that's where you're going to see a lot more activity.
But what I see with location-based services, and this is intriguing, and I haven't seen too much discussion about how to answer the tension between necessary passivity and privacy. Meaning, I don't suspect, just given human nature, that location-based services will be terribly successful until people can check in passively, until the device or whatever they have with them recognizes they are where they are and prompts them to check in. Because it's just an extra step, and one that most people either don't take or choose not to take or forget to take or whatever, unless they're deeply motivated to do it.
Ken, you stole a little bit of my thunder. That was my trend for 2011.
Sorry,
is location. Well, that's okay.
Well, now we're even.
I'm saving something for my session here. But I think the biggest question you have to ask with location-based services is what do you do with it, and why would customers even want to use location-based services? I think that's what the location-based services have to figure out, such as the small-time players right now, like Gowalla and Foursquare, is why do people even want to use Gowalla and Foursquare? And I think the main reason is just to check in. Marketers are quick to say, well, we need to offer coupons or discounts or so much percent off. But I think people using these social platforms in conjunction with location-based services, they just want to check in and let their friends know where they are and what they're doing. And I think that's the biggest advantage to businesses, is enabling and encouraging your customers to check in so that you appear in their social media streams, so that other potential customers can say, hey, they're doing business over at that place, and you get into their brain and into their potential, you know, lineup of businesses that they would purchase from.
I see location-based services in general as a way. There's really two ways. Number one is, how do you get customer information for the business by people who are checking in general, but also zip code IDs. If digital variable printing and ID numbers and databases can start matching with location-based services for coupons, can start delivering coupons to people in the mail based on where they checked in or how they checked in or what coupon they downloaded, the Groupon type model for email. I think that that's when it starts getting interesting on how do you create personalized one-to-one direct response content using the location-based services with zip codes, with geographic type information for database marketing. I think that's when it starts getting interesting, because that's something you can actually measure. And when you create personalized content, we all know that retention rates and acquisition rates actually go higher, and because people want personalized content. And if we can do that, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and I'd love to see it move to personalized content, not just coupons.
Well, that's Ken's take and our comments on 2010 and 2011. My turn. And so I'm going to look back at 2010 first, and I'd say the biggest impact for marketing, especially on a local small business level, was Facebook and Facebook pages. They came of age and became accessible, and businesses realized that this was something relatively simple that they could do and that they could immediately become available to 57% of the adult population in America, which is the latest estimate as to how many American adults have a Facebook account. So that was the biggest impact, is that Facebook, I think, became the one easy, cheap marketing tool for small businesses to use. And I think for 2011, I'm going to tie Facebook in with location-based services and say that will be the biggest impact for 2011, especially on a small local business level, because of Facebook deals and Facebook places. Facebook has just been brilliant in the way they've integrated this all into one easy-to-use interface for the customer, where I can fire up my Facebook app on my mobile, check in, get a deal, and the small business, the local business, can actually control the content that the user sees, the deals. It's easy to create a deal, although right now it's not easy to claim your Facebook place all the time for businesses. But once you do, it's easy to control the deals. It's easy to control your Facebook page. And so I think that's going to have a huge impact, if used correctly, in 2011.
I think the comment I made right before you spoke, Jay, I think is still, for me, one of the questions that's in my head, which is, how do we get people to build loyalty to the place or to the product or the service that's associated with that particular business, rather than the program that is convincing them to check in? So I just hearken back to, you know, way back when old consumer behavior classes were the dangers of coupons, and where you train people into paying a lower price for your product or whatever, and you train people to go for the best coupon. And I'm concerned that however well it's delivered from a technological standpoint, that we still have that underlying issue of how do we build loyalty to the actual product or the actual organization, rather than just to the essentially loyalty program that's in place.
I'm going to actually flip that. I completely agree with you. This is Kyle, by the way. I think that 2011, and with personalized content and the ability to do this kind of stuff, and when Facebook starts opening up more and giving more data and giving us the ability to take that data as marketers, you know, what we always say is that it's okay to be a little bit creepy as marketers, because because people want to know that you're listening to them. And I think that our goal as marketers, and our goal as business owners, and our goal as CMOs and CEOs needs to be, how can we create content that makes us more loyal to the customer, not create content to try to get them to be more loyal to the brand? I think if we're more loyal to the consumer based on wants and needs, they're going to become more loyal anyway. And I think that so many people try, especially nonprofits, year-end ask, and they send a thank you note. You know, yeah. What if you can deliver personalized content to 50,000 different individuals with almost the same cost? I think that that's where it starts getting interesting, using Facebook to do that, using Twitter and LinkedIn, any of them, in direct mail and call centers and everything under the sun. So how do you make yourselves more loyal to people in terms of content? And that's where it starts getting exciting.
I think one of the things we still overlook when we get so overwhelmed with all the technology, is there still some kind of traditional engagement things we can use once we get the folks to check in? And as Facebook starts to release more information, just like you said, I think that if the technology doesn't catch up to the point where everything becomes so passive and automated, you can still revert back to kind of that one-to-one stuff using some of the basic tools on Facebook to try to create as much as a personal conversation as you need to. I'm sure eventually the tools will catch up so where it's easy to pull that information. But then again, something else will come out, which will increase the level of competition. But I think in the meantime, even on some of the, from a small business perspective, when you don't have hundreds of thousands or thousands of people daily kind of checking in, if that does happen, you can manage that flow and manage that crowd across your fan page to create the illusion of more of a personal relationship until you have the technology to actually create it on a level that it's easy for your organization. You know, we do some things here with just wine tastings and things like that with some of the small businesses. And when they do check in, you can go back now and really try to engage them. And when they do check in physically, they're encouraged to check in rather when they get there, and then they receive a direct benefit, or we use that to try to capture a little bit more information in order to engage them at an additional time. So, you know, I definitely agree with becoming more loyal to the customer instead of doing everything you can to make them loyal to you.
Marketers, hey, thanks for the discussion, the look back and the look forward on the marketing impact for 2010 and looking forward to 2011. We appreciate your time and joining us here at the Marketers Roundtable. So what's your biggest marketing impact of the past year, and what will it be for the upcoming year? What do you think? Share your thoughts in the form of a comment at powertothesmallbusiness.com. And you can always send me an audio comment to jay@themarketingspot.com. That's jay@themarketingspot.com. You can catch complete show notes and links for this episode at powertothesmallbusiness.com. And for free marketing advice for small business owners and solo entrepreneurs, go to my blog, which can be found at themarketingspotblog.com. My name is Jay Arrett, and we'll be back soon with another edition of the Internet Show that's all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
You've been listening to Power to the Small Business with Jay Arrett, the Internet show exclusively about small business marketing. Please see the complete show notes at themarketingspotblog.com. You can also listen to the show online and subscribe in iTunes at powertothesmallbusiness.com. Never miss an episode of the Internet show all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
And special thanks to Mary Lynn Foster of the Big Success Podcast for creating the opening and closing voiceovers of Power to the Small Business. You can find Mary Lynn at the Big Success Show, BIGGSuccess.com.